Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Listening to Live from the Path. We're going to be in the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. I was plotting that all week.
Put some music to that.
You plotted that all week?
Yeah, I thought, Ben, here's what we're going to do. You need to scat at the beginning of the thing. And that's as far, here's the thing. That's as far as I got. Mike, did you listen to the... listen to the acoustic guy do the Scat Man?
No, I was going to go the other way with it. I was going to go with the heavy metal Scat Man guy that I downloaded this week.
Oh, no, hey, that I heard that. That's fantastic.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay, all right, hey, you're listening to Live from the Path. Knock that off, Boova. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. First of all, let's see. Mike's got Pope Style Preview on the Pope Style.
It's about people that really want to be part of something big for Jesus.
Yes!
Holy cat.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Hey, Dan. Dan, you don't know where that Pope Style is going to go.
I know. I spoke too soon.
It's not a group you want to be in, Dan.
I'll get off your yard.
When do I ever come in here with a Pope Style that's like, these people are great?
Hey, I'm the Pope, and I'd like to endorse a group of people.
Just while I got the floor, I'd like to say you guys are doing a bang-up job.
You guys are just doing great. No problems, just everything's all right.
I take my hats off to you, but then they wouldn't recognize me as the Pope, so they just have to leave it on.
No shaking hands and kissing babies for Mike.
All right, so that's the nature of the Pope Style is someone has mistaken Mike for the Pope, and the only way to get all these people from gathering around his lawn is him to give some level of Pope Style advice, so they'll leave. Yeah. And just to keep the game interesting, it does have to be applicable to him and advice that he otherwise would reasonably take on his own. So that's the nature of Pope Style advice. We get some dear questions on Dear Life from the Path. People are struggling in life and they need some help, and they've become extremely desperate, and they're seeking help from late night internet Jesus radio, and that's Dear Life from the Path.
And I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess the general problem with no matter what question we read is going to be, I really want to say this to the guy, but I'm too chicken to say this to the guy. Can you help me try to say this to the guy in a way that I don't have to say it to the guy?
That's fair. All communication is broken down between me and a loved one. Can you fix it?
Yeah. Can you tell your readers to tell my friend?
Yeah. You don't know them all, but what would you say for the nice personal connection for this to really mean something?
And then my personal favorite of what's the certain etiquette in this specific situation?
That's right.
I wore a dinner party.
I wore a chicken suit to a fancy restaurant. People were offended. Do you think I'm right on this? No.
Do I or do I not owe them money?
Also, Josh Wing is here. He's from the Christian Pigcast, christianpig.com. He'll just be hanging out tonight. Kind of, we're going to learn more about what he's been up to, what goes on at the Christian Pig, and then whether he can dominate secular versus Solomon.
And here's the deal. Oh, the Christian Pig, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yep, it is.
So heads up.
Hey, man,
whatever
I'm thinking bacon.
Thinking right now, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, no.
Boova, what are you thinking? Have you seen the joint?
No, but I'm definitely thinking bacon.
I'm just thinking there's no pork allowed.
Oh, man.
It's not called the Jewish pig.
Well, I was going to say there's no Jews allowed, but I thought that'd sound worse. So,
which means it's the pig that we finally can have.
The Jewish pig one was taken already.
So plus, it didn't
Islamic
really
hog.
What I was going for.
Oh, dang hooved animals.
I didn't see the phrase Islamic hog coming out tonight.
I was trying to be more sensitive, and Mike made me go.
Well, that's the best you have, Dan? No,
I'm just saying, I went a different direction than what I was really thinking.
Bummer.
All right, put that one on the billboard. Listen here, and here's what I can understand. If you've heard the show so far and you say, look, this show's not for me, it sounds terrible, I understand what you're saying. It does get worse, and you can go to livefromthepath.org during the week. You can check out past clips of the show, including performances. Mike promises me he's working on some performances to get some folks in here.
He does do that. He does make promises like that.
He keeps trying to get me to sing, and I keep saying no.
Here's the deal. If I don't know if you've ever tried to get past Michael W. Smith's secretary, but she's like a wall, man.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, we think Mr. Smith should come on the show. And she says things like, he no longer exists, or you have the wrong number. And I say, whatever. So anyway, he's going to be a hard sell, but he's on his way in.
All right, this all sounds fine. All right, here we go. First of all, I guess let's meet Josh a little bit. Josh, first of all, thanks for coming on Live from the Path.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Definitely. So, Mike, you're to blame for dragging poor Josh into here. What interests you about this man?
Well, here's the thing. From what I can tell, I haven't seen Josh probably forever.
Right.
I mean, face to face, it just doesn't happen. But Facebook style, he puts out things that claim to love Jesus. And I say, yeah, okay, we need to know each other in a more intimate way. So I said, hey, man, are you busy on Monday nights at an unholy late hour? And he said, no, I'm available. and here he is.
So Josh, tell us a little bit about Christian Pig.
Yeah, so Christian Pig is something that I got hooked up with from this dude near the Seattle area in Tacoma, Washington. He's a dude that runs a website called Christian Pig, ironically. So
it would be awkward if he didn't.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting correlation. But anyway, Justin Hartford, he runs the program, and I kind of just jumped on board. First of all, writing some blogs for him and whatnot, and then he started up the podcast called the Christian Pigcast, and asked me to jump on board with that. So that's something I like to talk a lot. So I was like, sure, I'll give this a shot. I love Jesus. So I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing. And basically what it's all about is the pig and Christian Pig stands for perspectives in a glance. So we're trying to get kind of all different kinds of perspectives in the Christian faith and out of the Christian faith, and kind of just give everybody a chance to have a voice instead of just kind of, you know, bashing somebody down before you even hear what they're about. Just allowing them an opportunity to share what they have to say. No debates or anything like that, but just kind of give their perspective. So,
cool. That's very cool. So are there a lot of, is it just like a conglomerate of media, or are there like scheduled podcasts that go on weekly? Or,
well, we are in a rephasing period right now, so we're kind of changing things up a little bit. We're going to kind of start an umbrella thing of having multiple podcasts under the Christian Pig label, but not necessarily be about the perspectives in a glance. So there's the Christian Pigcast that's still coming on strong. And then we're going to starting a new segment that I can't name yet because it hasn't dropped yet, but it's going to be pretty rad, where it's just going to be more laid back and us just talking smack at each other and whatnot. So that's what that's about. And then they do writings. They also do what's called Pigtails, where anybody can get on www.christianpig.com and share a story. And we'll decide, you know, kind of if your writing sucks, we're going to throw it away. But if it's good, you know, we'll put you on there and give you a chance to share your story, your testimony and whatnot. So it's kind of all kind of different forms of media to get the message out of just, you know, kind of being more open to other people's perspectives and not just, you know, living in your own little bubble. So
I don't like it.
Cool.
No, it makes Dan uncomfortable.
But I think that generally means that I'm for it.
Yeah. That means Dan's perspective would be welcome on the Christian Pig.
It would. That is difficult too, by the way.
I kinda like the caveat where, like, if your writing sucks, it's gonna go. Like, just because you write in with the word Jesus in it, it doesn't immediately get published, which is kind of the way that most Christian media works, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like, someone will show up on a vodcast and be like, hey, man, I love Jesus. And be like, "This, we got to give this airplay." Okay, man, can you be a little bit more applicable to anybody? You know what I'm saying? Speaking to someone's life at all? Because, I mean, I could get that done with a marker and a postcard, you know?
Even counting the obscure names from Scripture, that's still not even close to like 10% of the amount of people that were hanging around following God at that time.
Yeah.
And they didn't make the cut. So I feel like your blog may not either. And you're just going to have to learn to deal with that, or the Lord may swallow you up like the Korah.
That's right. The guy that faithfully walked with God his whole life to the point where God came and picked him up, he didn't need to write nothing.
Got a sentence.
Yeah. You know, they're like, Enoch was here, then he wasn't here. God came and got him.
Yeah.
Good enough. You don't see him be like, I'm not getting enough views on this.
I need to play.
Hey, God, do you want to give any context of like how I walked with you for the 300 years? Or, nope. Just the one. Okay. All
right. No matter. Get in the chariot.
That was something that keeps coming up in the Revelation classes. Like, we're always talking, and like, we want more specifics than God is giving. Yeah, hey, who was this guy on the horse? Nobody gives a crap.
Otherwise, why was the horse red?
Otherwise, John would have said, it's Chuck on the horse. You know Chuck.
That's right.
But he didn't say that because it don't matter. So shut your face. Try to pay attention to what's going on around you. And submit a... Actually, that'd be kind of a cool... That'd be kind of a cool blog, though. Like the Red Horseman.
He's got 15 minutes of fame. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's he going to write about every week? So here's the deal.
My name's Carl.
You know me. I was the guy with the scales. The scale judgment. All right. Excellent. So you can check that out, christianpig.com. You can peruse. There's videos of Josh out there taking video in his car like he's running from the law.
Yeah. Right.
That's what caught me. I thought, hey, I think that guy's running from the law. I want to know what's going through his mind about Jesus right now. And that's exactly what goes on.
Yeah. So it's probably illegal what I do.
That's true. Right. Actually, I watched one of them there a couple days ago, and I thought to myself, he's going to reveal where the treasure is at any minute now.
D.B. Cooper.
And by the way, I hit it underneath the rock. Didn't happen.
Don't tell the second horseman.
Give it to the guy on the scales.
So the truth is, there's a wide variety of perspectives. Like, I get that the answer is probably everything, Josh, but like, I don't know, what conversations or types of conversations are you interested in kind of like this week? What are times of conversations that you'd be looking to get in on or hear people, what they're talking about in relation to?
Oh, gosh. yeah, everything's pretty much the answer. But no, more specifically, I mean, lately I've been thinking a lot about, well, since Easter just came by, I heard this pretty rad message from our pastor about, you know, Jesus's experience on the cross and how the whole part of him saying, "I thirst," and how he had never complained any time on the way to the cross, never complained when he was being nailed to the cross, and then all of a sudden he's complaining about being thirsty. And my pastor found that interesting, and I was intrigued by it as well. And kind of his position and take on it is that the idea of thirst is more like that unquenchable, you know, you're dying of thirst. So your body is basically burning up from the inside. So he was kind of suggesting, is it possible that Jesus at that moment was in hell because of that experience that he was having? And of course, I put that on our Christian Pig page, and a lot of people said that I don't even know how to pronounce, but is it exegesis?
Exegesis.
Exegesis. So basically, you know,
I feel like half of that's right, whatever you just said.
So basically taking your own perspective into, you know, what is written, which I could understand that, but it's still a really interesting, you know, idea and an interesting thought. And I think in the end, you know, I'm wrong 90% of the time. I'll admit that. There's other people that won't, but they're probably wrong too. If you're talking about a God that's eternal, if you're talking about a God that is all-knowing, you're going to get it wrong 90% of the time. I mean, that's kind of the way I see it. So we just kind of fight through it, and that's what's on my mind this week, though.
I think that's true. It's still a healthy view of Scripture to figure out if you're wrong, why you're wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like if this is a plausible thought, then you walk through and say, all right, let's kind of talk through that. Does this make sense with kind of the direction of Scripture? Does this fit? And if it doesn't fit, hey, you learn how to read Scripture thoroughly, use it to balance itself out and figure out what it's talking about, and that's a positive. In fact, again, the only reason that this comes up again because it's just something that we're talking about, but like Revelation is nothing if it's not that. Hey, does this make sense in the trajectory of blah, blah, blah? And then we talk about it. It's like, no, that actually has no context at all. We should probably give that up. Or is this possible? As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that are coming up in our class where we're like, you know, there's a couple ideas about this. I think, frankly, we could go either way. Both are consistent with God's character. They seem to be in line with how God has historically acted in Scripture. So, you know, do we really need to haggle over the distinction here? Or can we just say, yeah, both of these are within the peripheral of what God might do. I'm glad God has communicated it. Let's move on.
Right.
And so even that way is, I think it's all right. And I think it's, there's a healthy thing that says, hey, I think this. And if we're rightly coming back and saying, okay, well, let's walk through why you think that. And if it meshes with God's character and the rest of Scripture, then I think we're good to go. If it's completely whacked out of that, then we could be like, hey, man, are you trying to promote something that's your own? Or do we care about being in line with who God is? And then, you know, if you're in line with who God is, then we'll kind of fight through that and figure out where it lands. And that's completely healthy. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I love it. I love it. Does thirst. I missed it. I missed it completely.
I mean, is there a chance that he's just being like, I mean, I don't want you guys to do anything about this, but I'm kind of thirsty.
The nonchalant Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect you to go running after stuff, especially because I already know what you're going to try to give me. No, thank you.
Yeah. No, I don't want that sour wine.
Thirst stuff's nasty.
Yeah.
Tricky. Mike, what were you were saying something about like an increase in apologetics items around Easter?
Yeah, so this has to do with, I mean, this is probably my fault, right? Because I like a bunch of weird dudes on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? And like, as soon as Easter comes around, it's nothing but drawings and all apologetic documents, you know, 6 pages long about historical fact about the resurrection and blah, 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 the stone, and this guy saw it, and then these guys, why didn't they act this way? What only makes sense, blah, blah, whatever. So it goes on for years, you know? And so my Facebook is just littered with this stuff, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, listen, fellas, here's the deal. And maybe I have this wrong, but like, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what you just said about all the facts that you think that back up the resurrection and why I should believe it. I only believe it because I've seen the fruits of people that have faith in Jesus Christ. And so like, because that God is that powerful, and I've seen him change lives. When he says that he came back from the dead, I say, yeah, probably. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can totally believe that. So, like, it seemed odd to me because we do this a lot, right? We try to prove apologetically why the logical basis was that he rose from the grave, and what we're trying to do is prove our mechanics of how sin was dealt with, right? But, like, to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, I don't even know that they actually care. They don't understand what sin is or who God is or the life that you're actually trying to draw them into. And so, like, we're the mechanics discussion of what Christ did and why he did it, I'm not saying it doesn't belong in the conversation of when you're talking to somebody about trying to understand the God that I've turned my life over to, because really, if I want to explain why I'm doing it, that's a big part of it, right? This God came to earth and died for me. Yeah. It was a really big deal, right? But, like, the discussion tends to gear towards is, like, the mechanics of it and why it happened and why it didn't happen. And to be honest with you, like, all your facts don't mean anything to me except for the fact that I know who Christ is already. I've seen the changes that he's made in my life and the people around me. And because he is that big, then I believe that he conquered death, right? It's not before. I don't believe that he conquered death, therefore I should follow him. I believe that there's an actual life change, and following Christ means something. And here's what you're promising to people. And because I've seen that come through, then I believe the resurrection just fine. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. And that, sorry, I have a broken record here. But, like, we're in Revelation.
Here's the deal in Revelation.
Sorry.
But did you know that we're studying Revelation?
I'm sorry. It's just
reminds me of Revelation.
You know, there's other books in the Bible, Ben.
This is the only one I'm reading.
65 of them, actually.
I started reading Mark with my oldest daughter, and it kept saying immediately, and I thought, immediately go back to Revelation. And so that's just what I assumed was the trajectory of Mark.
Here's the funny part about Ben. The rest of the Christian community reads all the books but Revelation. Ben reads Revelation and none of the rest.
but anyway, the like what you're saying, like looking at the evidence in Christian lives as part of the validation of Christ's story, is coupled in Revelation 13. Like basically the defeat of Satan. Or sorry, this is in Revelation 12. It couples and says it basically happened because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the lives of the Christians who would not shrink from death. Like, those two things are kind of coupled together. And it's interesting, like, I think of, you're right, we load, I get apologetics in that manner in releasing nagging doubt, but not selling the story of Christ.
Right.
Does that make sense in the right way as you're describing? Is that, like, the proof is in the fruits? And you'll notice that he's a living and acting active God in the outpouring of how Christians live and what the Bible directs. The rest of the stuff is basically having a human argument on a human level. Yeah. But basically you're saying the broader conversation is on a God level and Spirit kind of handles that stuff.
Yeah, so like, I mean, if they were to put the existence of God and Jesus Christ on trial, I wouldn't show up with a box full of evidence. I'd show up with a buttload of people. And I'd just drag them in and I'd say, go ahead, tell them what happened when you met Jesus. Blah, 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 blah. Next guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all the proof I need is in the people that follow him and the people that were changed from the person that they were.
I blame Lee Strobel.
Here's the deal. He's in league with Dave Ramsey to sell things.
Yep.
Hey, man, don't get Mike fired up on Dave Ramsey again.
Oh, no.
He's going off on a tangent.
I haven't put enough effort into it to really bring my case home. But here's the deal. I can bring a boatload of witnesses that say they've attended that class five times, still don't spend money anywhere like they're supposed to. I still have the original envelopes. Oh, we had a hard time using them because we pay online. So
That's probably not on Dave Ramsey. That's kind of on them.
Yeah, if it was a good system, it would work. Here's the deal.
Well, the system does work.
Here's the thing. When Christ says, follow me, and I do that, things go well. There's no guys that are falling off to the wayside. You know what I'm saying? Ramsey says, use these envelopes. Things will work. Things still don't work. I got to attend his class again for big money.
They're not working because you're not really following the system.
I disagree.
Yeah.
It's a flawed system.
You haven't paid Dave Ramsey enough money is the problem.
He needs more money.
He needs.
You don't have financial peace until you give me a piece of your money. That's what he's saying. You better drop it now, Ben.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All right.
Move on.
Anyway, so you didn't share any proofs that of the apologetics around the resurrection?
I mean, I read a couple of them. They were, just because I'm flat out interested on what people are spending their time on, but I'm like, yeah, who cares?
And honestly, though, people respond to different things. You know, some people really get into that, and it does help them. I'm not one of those either. Honestly, I used to... like subscribed to Biblical Archaeological Review like for years, and I finally thought, I look at the pictures. You know?
That is the most honest thing I've ever heard in my entire
life.
It's
like, I don't read the articles. I don't go that deep. Yeah, I don't read the- I'm pretty shallow.
Biblical archaeology. Yeah, I look at it for the picture.
I did.
I hey, man, that kind of looks like Noah's Ark. Sweet.
I like to leave it on the table, make people think I read it.
Look at that.
It's like, yeah, wow.
I think that was it. It's like, man, this guy's really smart.
How yeah. scholarly of you,
look
man.
Look at this picture on page 47.
I realize this is a sweeping stereotype, but like the problem is the guys that this is how they've come to know Jesus. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm saying the majority of people I know, they just don't dig on that.
Yeah, it's just one slice of
I'm saying people. It can, but the problem is when they get in, all they do is start another apologetics website and feed into their own community. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the same guys arguing fact-based crap out of Hebrews. I'm like, look, man, Jesus changes people. Your explanation of what Jesus does not.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not holy. I'm just saying that, like, I think we're fooling ourselves. We've created a separate category of dudes that like to debate weird crap in the Bible. And then they spend their whole lives doing that. Right? Like, it's hard to witness to people unless they already claim to follow Christ, and you want to argue about, you know, who actually said the great Shema and who had it written on their, tattooed on their ankle. And no one cares. You know what I'm saying? No one cares.
Yeah, I think that stuff is very handy for distractions. I just don't know. It's probably not moving the needle. Okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't want to believe in Jesus, I'm not going to be feel compelled on your evidence for the resurrection either. Because really what you're trying to do is trying to show me earthly plausibility, but you're not producing earthly evidence for a spiritual godly thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Short of showing me, short of Lazarus knocking on the front door and saying, "No, dig this bin. I'm actually here." The Bible never said I died. I've just been walking about, and you know, that's the thing. The person that doesn't want to believe, I mean, they'll fight that till they're dead.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When an all powerful God says this is what happened. You could have said anything, right? If Jesus claimed to hop aboard a purple dragon and then sing La Bamba on his way up during the ascension, I would have said, yeah, he could totally could have done that.
That sounds like a sweet Jesus party.
That is no problem for me, right? It's just as believable to me as whatever else they would have said. I would have said, yeah, God of the universe does what he wants.
Go forth and make disciples whilst I hum La Bamba.
Okay, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he could have done it. And if it had been in the Bible, I'd have believed it. That's all I'm saying.
Isn't that in the message, though?
Yeah, I think that's it is.
The message talks about the purple dragon.
I need you to pick up
not
on this.
Not to be confused with the red dragon from Revelation, Ben.
Exactly.
Because they sang a new song, and it was La Bamba.
Hey, I'm a little worried about this. Nah, not worried. Have you seen the previews of this second movie, God's Not Dead 2?
Yeah.
Nothing about that is appealing to me. I think it's just a bunch of angry Christians using cliches and old. I mean, it's just like, have you seen it? You kind of look confused.
I didn't see the first movie. I've heard the previews
like,
on the radio.
Prove God, you
They're
know,
calling and it God's go Not Dead 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wow, it's a fancy name.
Yeah.
God. So what's the premise, Dan?
They're gonna take him. Somebody says something in school or something. Lawyer's gonna take him to court and prove God doesn't exist.
It's been brought to the court system.
That's just from the previews.
These are my favorite movies, right? Because they're the Western civilization version of persecution.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I said I believe in Jesus, and people were like, "Boo, you're stupid."
It's like, what have you done?
And
for
I went
Jesus
home and cried. Oh no, that's awful.
We're gonna fight for this.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm a college kid, but I'm gonna spend the next 6 hours studying Jesus, and then I'm gonna show up in a court of law and prove him. It's like,
yeah, what?
Yeah. Oh, just, man.
Here's the
it's
thing.
It's a miracle
though.
On 31st Street.
But this is 51st, what this is what gets the American church all fired up, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, I've experienced this level of persecution.
They'll sell the action figures.
Yeah, you've experienced this true. As whether it categorizes as persecution of any kind, right? Like I'm reading a book from the Voice of the Martyrs about how these guys their daughters are basically taken and sold into sex slavery. Everything they own is basically burned. They're forced to live out in refugee camps. And basically ISIS says, look, either you can pay us the tax, you can convert to Islam, or you're gonna live out there, and we're probably just gonna come out and kill you whenever we're ready. You know what I'm saying? And these guys are like, yeah, we'll take out there. That sounds fine. And we're like, so someone made fun of me about saying I was a Christian one time? It really hurt me. Yeah, okay.
I can't pray in my work anymore because they don't like it. Oh, yeah. I'm being persecuted.
Actually, I watched this discussion happen on Facebook during Easter. It's the best time for it, right? Some guy shows up. He's all geared up about taxing the churches. He's like, we'd only have to, our blah, blah, blah tax rate would only be blah, 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 tax the churches. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Go ahead. I don't care. We'll just meet together. We'll figure it out. I'm not that worried about it. It's not going to crumble our organization, right? Like, God's still God. Christ still rose. Texas, I don't care. We'll just disband, and then we'll meet in houses, and it'll be fine. I'm not afraid of this at all. You know, like all the church guys are like, we're a respected freedom of blah, 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 religion, a founding father. I'm like, shut up. Look, will you love Jesus whether there's tax or not? I don't think that's the big deal, right? It's not the deciding factor.
Yeah, right. Like, I might participate in discussion that says I'd rather keep that and give it to a homeless guy, but, like, you're certainly not going to crumble the nature of Jesus Christ's kingdom because you're going to take 15% from the holy man.
That's right. There's legal ramifications where I'm like, hey, man, you already taxed that money once, and so taxing it again seems a bit shady to me. But, like, apart from that, God's church will survive whether you tax the living crap out of us or you leave us completely alone. We will be fine either way. Like, I'm just not concerned with it.
Yeah, all right.
Stay off of Facebook around Easter. That's all I'm saying.
Just go on a 5-day hiatus from it. Just walk away from it for a bit.
Can you imagine the guy that that is equally surprised by every post on Easter? He's like, he is risen.
No doubt.
He is risen. No kidding. He is risen. Here's my family. This is great.
Hey, that guy says, indeed. I didn't believe it for a minute, but now that guy's vouched for it.
You threw in the indeed.
That's
and
right. This dude's
the
next real point. Really brought it home.
Here's the deal. It's like, there's something of like about sharing those phrases in your community. Like, I get, like, there's just, it's a common thing. It's a point of celebration. That's not cheesy. I like that. But, like, it's different if you try to take your personal catchphrases and turn them into a billboard and expect people to react the same way. If we say, hey, Dave, every time my Uncle Ted comes in a room because it's a funny, and then, like, I say it to random people, it doesn't mean anything. They just think I'm an idiot.
I'm just going to start commenting on people's posts, truly, truly, just to see what anybody says. Like, truly, truly, what are you talking about, man? And truly, truly, Boova says to you.
All right, Mike, so here's the deal. There was a rumor mill. Rumors going around, and they said,
did it start on the Facebook?
That's where it started.
Around Easter time?
There was an apologetics article trying to prove you were not the Pope, and it was not successful. And so now there's a new Facebook group that says, Mike is likely the Pope. Let's go to his place, hang around, and we think he's the Pope. And so now you're stuck with some sort of Pope-style advice, or people are not going to get off your place.
So here's the deal. Friends, can I call you friends?
Absolutely not.
Don't respond. You're in a group. Buddy.
Indeed.
Truly, truly, truly.
Here's the deal. Like, I've had maybe 5 conversations over this last week about people that are like, they're just bummed. And they're like, I just want to be part of something big for Jesus. Right? I just want to do something big. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, there's like 10 things I want to say right now, but I'm going to try to calm myself, and we're going to talk about this slowly. And basically, here's where the conversation ends up, right? I say, are you being faithful in the things that you have given right now, that like God has you in charge of? And they're like, I'm not really sure what he has me in charge of. I'm like, what? What do you mean? you're not sure of these things. He says, well, I said, have you been reading your Bible? You're praying, talking to God, seeing what he's got going for you? They're like, yeah, but nothing big seems to come back. I said, maybe God ain't got you do something big. And here's the deal. You're involved with the God of the universe. That's pretty big, right? I mean, he said, here's I've created this man/woman. I've created this being to do something in the kingdom of God. I've created him to serve and to love and to follow, and I need them to do this job. It's pivotal. That's what I got them for. It's what I have them doing. And there are variations in their life. They can be obedient. They cannot be obedient. But here's what I have for them if they choose to follow me. And I say, there are a couple of things that can impede this process. One, you believe that the things that you're doing aren't big enough. This is kind of a pride issue for you, right? You need to step back a little bit and realize when the God of the universe taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, Mike, I have this for you. I say, but I'm way more capable than that, Lord. And he says, no, you're not. I made you.
I feel like I'm not being used effectively in my current position, Lord.
These are your strong suits. You're going to do what I asked you to do, and you're going to rock at it. I need you to do this. Be faithful. And I say, okay, it doesn't sound very fun, but I hear what you're saying. Number two, when Christ said it is finished and your sin was taken away from you, I like to imagine it as a guy that is chained to a big boulder. And well, follow me now. We'll call that boulder sin. Jesus comes by with a big old set of bolt cutters, cuts you free of this sin. And he says, follow me. You say, cool. And then you get about 2 steps and think, I bet I can fit that boulder in my knapsack and bring it around later. I mean, I'm not chained to it right now, but what if
I need it?
What if I want to use it again, you know? And so Christ has set you free of this sin, which will allow you to follow him and do the things that he has lined out for your life. And you go back and grab this boulder and put it in your pocket. And then, while Jesus continues to walk, he's 20 feet ahead of you. And 3 days later, he's 60 feet ahead of you. And you're still trying to drag this boulder around. Even though you're not using it right now, you have full intentions that maybe in a couple of weeks you're going to whip this thing back out and get back chained to it like you want. And so I've explained a couple of these things. Like, these are basically the 2 points that I came out to, and maybe the 2 points that I'm trying to push forward, and these apply to me as well, is, one, you don't have to be faithful to what God has other people doing. You have to be faithful to what God has you doing. Now, there's parts of me that especially when I read some of the stuff that comes out of the Voice of the Martyrs, you know, the people that, I mean, they are being persecuted like Christ says they were going to, and it is rough stuff. And I look at my house and my wife and my kids and my dog and my too many Tupperware things, and I think, I should be ashamed of myself. This is embarrassing. And actually, there's some parts of that are still true, right? There's still parts of that I can be convicted about and go, there's parts of the way that I live my life that I'm worshiping money to a small degree. And even a small degree, it's still a boulder. Mm-hmm. And God has freed me from it. And I still pick it up and maybe put it in my pocket and act like this won't be a problem for me. But if it is, I don't want to be going like 15 feet away to find another boulder. I'm going to use this one.
Right. This one's perfectly fine.
So, but God's got me doing what God's got me doing. You know what I'm saying? And there's not, I'm not saying you're going to open 1 Peter and it's going to come out and hit you. And I'm not saying you're going to go home tonight and say, Lord, I want to know what you have for my life. If it's moving to Antarctica, please send some deer across my yard, and I'll be like, yes, that is everything I needed to know and more. but you need to be faithful to what God has you doing. He has people, not one person. He has a collective church and people within it. He has things for you to do if you're willing. His plan will move on without them. If you fail at this, he will get done what he needs to get done in either case, right? But like, if we're talking about you living eternally in his kingdom, there are going to be for things for you to do eternally. And if you're not willing to participate now, I don't know that you're going to fool him when you get up to heaven and say, I loved you, I followed you, I'm ready to participate in the kingdom. And he says, no, you weren't. I tried to get you to do it the last 30 years. You weren't interested. I don't believe you. There's a chasm. I'm sorry you can't stay. Because that's what you actually want.
Right.
And then two was that was the boulder thing. When God says you're free of something, just be free of it. And I'm talking to myself here, right? But when he says you're done with this now, this does not define you. You are not walking in a 10-foot circle around this thing where it's just going to own you for the rest of your days. I know what that feels like, brother, where you think this sin is always going to own me. It doesn't matter how many times I try, how many times he cuts me loose. I pick up this boulder and I think there's no way I can live without it. I don't know what life looks like outside of this 10-foot radius of this boulder, right? God says, I got great stuff down here. I also got rough stuff down here. And things that are going to make you sad. And things that are going to hurt. And things that are going to be awesome. But it's different and it's better because I'm there with you. I need you to leave that boulder behind. And you say, yes, cut me free, Jesus. And weep. And you're free for like a day. And then you go pick that boulder back up and take it with you and be like, this is me. It's always going to be me. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. It is a stone-faced lie. That is not the truth. There are people examples who have overcome this. There are biblical examples of that it's been overcome. It doesn't have to own you. Stop owning it. Stop picking that rock back up. And those two things, if you can hit those two things, you will find a life of where you're following Jesus. And frankly, wherever he leads, it doesn't really matter then, right? Like, what was that thing I brought up on Sunday? I think Todd Stevens had it on the Facebook again that I liked, but he said Daniel didn't set out to fight giants. He was there to deliver sandwiches. The giants just got in the way.
Oh, David, yeah.
David. No. Yeah, David. Sorry. Yeah, David didn't set out to fight giants. He was there to deliver sandwiches to his brothers. The giants just got in the way.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the truth, right? You're going to follow Jesus around. There's going to be some rough things. There's going to be some crappy things. But, like, when Jesus is there, everything's just better. It's just better. There's a joy-filled life where there's pain existing. And if you can get rid of the boulder and your expectations of what your life is supposed to be and just follow the obedient life that God has created for you, I promise joy because that's what Christ promises. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that comes back to the reminder of talking about Enoch, right? Like, if you're just going about the Lord's business, it's not like you're not going to run into stuff that's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be a specific call on your life. It doesn't have to be a specific thing that says you're destined for X, Y, Z. You're destined to follow Jesus. So just do that. Yeah. And then, like, just watch it roll in front of you. And sometimes that following Jesus means you take the arrows that Jesus took. Sometimes it means dying the way Jesus died. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's not. But being faithful in the means and then trusting that God will handle the ends otherwise produces a life, an Enoch type of life, which is he followed God and God said, that's good.
Yeah.
That's tricky. Buva, what's your experience in this area?
So God is using that exact situation kind of to crush a lot of pride that I have because after seeing some of my family and some of some very close people to me do some incredible things for God, like pack up life and move to a different part of the world for God stuff. You know, I started praying immediately. God, where am I going? Like, what do you have me doing that's so incredible? Like, you know, I'm going to be faithful in this, and I'm super excited, God. Just here, I even called out in just like the full pride boov away. You know, here am I, send me that Isaiah verse, God. Like, that's me right now. And then I got this response of, yeah, you're exactly where you need to be. You're not moving anywhere. You're not going off. You're exactly where you need to be. Stop trying to make this something bigger in your eyes. It's already big enough in mine. And it's just like, I had to take a step back because I realized, you know, I'm already doing stuff here, and I'm doing some really important stuff with some very important people. And I work with the kids here, and I love that. I love doing that here at the church, and that's one of my favorite things and one of my favorite parts of the week. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, how can I leave that and go take care of that somewhere else? And I'm just like, wait a minute, I'm doing exactly that here. I don't need to leave. And it was under the guise of faithfulness for me, but then God kind of stripped that down and made me realize it was complete pride. It's complete pride on my part. I just wanted to make sure that I looked good to other people. It wasn't a problem with me and God. It was a problem between me and other people. I didn't see my name getting thrown out in people's faces as, you know, Booba's doing something crazy good right now. And I don't need that. And my pride does, but I don't need to have that. And so that's a big thing for me right now. So that's totally something I agree with. And then, you know, with the sin thing too, you know, carrying around that boulder, exactly same thing. I mean, I'm running into an issue right now that I've been dealing with something for years. And I mean, you guys know about it and stuff like that. But, you know, I recently talked to someone about it that I was scared to talk to about it. And she kind of said this crazy thing that was, she told me that the sin that I have, that it's this huge thing to me. It's kind of like a little kid that's all scraped up and he's all bruised up and stuff like that because he's trying to go run and play and do this new stuff, right? And so in a little kid's eyes, all he sees in his mirror is these scrapes and these bruises and these cuts, and that's the only thing that he sees, and he doesn't see anything past that. He only sees that's going to be his entire life. He's never going to move past the cuts and the scrapes and the bruises that he keeps getting, and he's never going to be worth more than that because he's never going to be good enough to be past that. And then the little kid hears his dad. And his dad calls him outside and says, son, come out and see me. And the little boy just gets so excited, and he runs outside, and he sees his dad. And his dad looks at him, and he doesn't even notice the scrapes. He doesn't notice the bruises. He doesn't notice the scratches. He just looks at his son for how excited he is that his son's going to be something incredible someday. And his son is going to grow up to be something that's so amazing and so beautiful, and he has such incredible potential. And he doesn't even see anything that this little boy is dealing with, but like, the little boy can't see past that. And it's a total picture of God's relationship with us. Like, we are caught in our own sin that we look at it from the perspective of there's no way we're ever going to get past this. There's no way there's anything beyond this. And then God looks at us and says, you know, you are so much more than that. I have created you to have an identity that is free from that. Yet you keep grabbing that name and you keep grabbing that sin like that's all you are. Yet I'm here calling you to a higher purpose and to a higher place. I've called you worthy and I've called you clean. Yet you keep putting that name on yourself. Stop it and see yourself through my eyes. And it's just like, man, that hits hard because that's all of us. Like, every single one of us sees ourselves for our sin, yet God doesn't see that. He sees the perspective that he knows our heart and he knows our creation. He died for that. And like, that's such a beautiful picture. And it's something that hurts me every day, but at the same point in time keeps me going. And it's just, it's sad that, you know, we all find ourselves in that. And God's just sitting up there going, yeah, that's you. But at the same point in time, you're worth so much more. I've given you identity free from that.
Yep. The Lord does giving you a white robe, and you keep putting on those Zumba pants.
Hey, man, I look good in those Zumba pants.
Look what I got online. I got these from Amazon.
And then you try to put that white robe underneath, and the Lord goes, hey, I can still see those Zumba pants.
Here's the thing. I can still see them Zumba pants, man.
Don't buy neon Zumbas.
I don't care if they can get it there in 2 days. You don't want them pants.
Seriously. I paid with it with my own money. All right, you're listening live from the path. here's the deal. I don't have the intro to Secular Solemn, so I'm gonna have to just introduce to what it is that's going on. Secular versus Solemn is it claims to be the fastest growing internet game show, and the reason we can claim that is because I don't track any other internet game shows. So ignorance is bliss, and it grows fast here.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the basic premise of the game. And everybody's in. I will give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me whether that's a secular bit of wisdom or a biblical bit of wisdom, and we'll call it Solomon. So if it's biblical, it's Solomon. If it's not biblical, then you say it's secular. The point is, do we know where our wisdom is coming from? There's a lot of things. Frankly, most of the wisdom that you think came from the Lord probably came from Benjamin Franklin. You don't know any better. It's time to change your ways. Okay? So I will give you the bit of wisdom. You need to tell me whether it's secular or Solomon. And if it is secular, I want to know the country of origin. Country of origin.
Look at me. Look at Buva. Hey, always man. Says Inca or some kind of weird people group.
We got Dan who always says Epcot Center. Dan, or some racist comment by chance. Like accidentally racist comment from Dan. Yeah. Oh, that sounds Puerto Rican. It's like, what?
Greasy hair, eh? Yeah, so let's try to keep the unintentional ethnic slurs to
hey,
a
that
minimum.
One was on you, Ben. That wasn't even on Dan.
All right. Secular versus Solomon. Let's start with Buva. Here we go. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend. Secular or Solomon?
I say secular, and I say Ireland.
Ireland. Josh Wing.
I'm going to say Solomon on that one.
Josh is in for Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I agree with Solomon.
Solomon. Mike.
Secular Poland.
Secular the Polish. All right. Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. It's okay to have good buddies in Poland because that is Solomon, Proverbs 19:4.
Cats.
Buva?
Boom.
I should have gone with the but blank. That's always Solomon.
I was counting on you because your reading of Solomon.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Hold so on, we don't I'm keep sorry. Talking about
that's,
me.
I'm sorry, that's not acceptable, Mike. Your bandwagging upon Buva shows a very, very huge chasm
hey,
in character.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to say this. Never mind. Just move on.
Okay, fair enough. Secular versus Solomon.
Berean Mike.
I don't prove nothing. I only read Revelation.
There was an apologetics article about a deserted friend, but I skipped it.
I said, I don't care
about
this.
Took a five-day Easter hiatus from Facebook.
I only know truth by my Polish friend.
I was trying to hacksaw my chain to a boulder of sin. I got my time to read in your Bible.
Secular versus Solomon. A sack full of fleas is easier to catch than a woman. A sack full of fleas is easier to catch, to watch than a woman. Let me rephrase. A sack full of fleas is easier to watch than a woman. I think that's supposed to be catch.
I think it should be catch.
I think it's catch. Easier to catch than a woman. Secular or Solomon? Josh?
I'm going to say secular and Japan.
Feisty ladies in Japan. Dan Hudson. Careful.
Oh, no. I was going to say, let's hope that there's no ladies in Dan's life that are watching the show right now.
Ladies that are like fleas. Bolivia.
Bolivia.
I can't tell you what I was thinking. We're gonna go secular, and I'm trying to think of the flea thing a lot of times.
Here it comes.
No, it has nothing to do with fleas.
Just throw out a country and it won't be a problem.
I'm going to go with Saudi Arabia.
And done.
Leave it at that.
Done. Right. No more comment, Mike. Sack full of fleas is easier to catch than a woman. Secular Solomon.
Secular and the Spanish.
Secular Spain. And Spain. Buva.
Secular. Bolivia.
You think I fruity and slipped it?
Yeah.
All right. A sack full of fleas is easier to catch than a woman. Secular Germany.
Yeah. Same thing as Bolivia.
Germany. No, it is not the
Germany
same.
Invaded Bolivia. And it's basically Germany, too.
That is, no, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable.
Actually, I think Boo was right about that, Ben.
Yep.
Secular versus Solomon. Don't marry for money. You can borrow it cheaper. Don't marry for money. You can borrow it cheaper. Secular versus Solomon. Dan.
This entire round was crafted to get Dan in trouble.
This is an Italian proverb. Secular.
Mike?
I'm going to go secular and Chile.
Secular Chile. Buva.
I'm going to go secular Germany 3, also known as Trinidad.
And Tobago?
And Tobago.
Hey, man, Tobago. That's in South America.
Tobago. It's not like toboggan?
It's Tobago. Like Winnebago.
Are you saying that because it rhymes like bagel?
Are you saying that I'm thinking about bagels?
I'm thinking about toboggans and you're thinking about bagels.
Trinidad and Winnebago.
Don't marry for money. You can borrow it cheaper, Josh.
I'm going to say secular, and I'm going to go with Canada.
That's a safe answer. Don't marry for money. You can borrow it cheaper. Secular Scotland. Secular Scotland.
Ah, Germany 4.
This does not make you sound like a wise person.
They invaded a lot of places.
Secular Solomon. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats a little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. Secular or Solomon, Mike?
That's definitely Solomon.
Solomon, Buva.
Solomon, Proverbs 14.
Proverbs 14. Josh Wing.
Solomon 2.
Solomon Dose, Dan Hudson.
That is a full ESV Solomon.
Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. It is indeed Solomon, Ecclesiastes 5. Those who you guessed a chapter, you lose a point for your pride. You had no idea, and you should admit that.
Proverbs 14, Josh, you put out Solomon 2?
Solomon 2.
Right,
I was going with the Germany 2 situation.
Solomon 2.
As in Ecclesiastes.
Solomon numero dos.
The Buva-esque bandwagon is 0 for 2.
Solomon back at it again is actually the correct title.
Ecclesiastes generally would be Solomon 2.
I think Solomon 2 is a fair answer.
Territory, man.
By the way, I just want to break in here. Troy, my mom says hi.
By the way. Fair enough. We'll tell her hello.
So, got that out of there.
Did she mention me?
No.
That's fair enough.
Hey. I think Mike should lose a point for pride there. Just heads up.
I just want to know I'm cared for. Is there something wrong with that?
Hey, hi, Mike. Yard.
Hey, buddy.
My mom is Tabagoan, and she was really upset with you.
Tabagoan?
Secular or Solomon, only your real friends will tell you when your face is dirty. Only your real friends will tell you when your face is dirty. Secular or Solomon? Booba.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go France.
That's extremely offensive.
I didn't say dirty people. I just said France.
Who's a dirty people?
Who's a dirty people? I'm going to go France. Only Parisian era.
Only your real friends will tell you when your face is dirty. Josh Wing.
Going with secular, and let's say Portugal.
You heartless pagan, Dan. That's
So that comes directly from my mom, whose great-great-grandfather came over on a boat from Britain. So we're just going to say the UK.
Something offensive in there. It's just not discernible, Mike.
He said enough to not be able to be clear.
There's a long list of immigrants that would do something like that.
Who came legally?
I went to Ancestry.com. I believe that came over from my grandparents.
Have we said Ireland already?
No.
I think it's secular Ireland.
I think we're all for Europe. Like all of us.
That's definitely a European
It's a dirty place.
It's a European problem. Have you been to London?
Have you brushed your teeth?
Only your friends will tell you when your face is dirty. Secular Burma, or we would have accepted modern day Myanmar. Myanmar.
The Asian
that was actually
area.
My second guess was Myanmar.
I better do that DNA test.
I would have accepted either of those, Burma or Myanmar.
Dan does have immigration in his family from Myanmar. Yeah, I can't believe you didn't pick
that.
That was
an old proverb from my great-great-great-grandmother from Burma.
Who crocheted the following slur into an Afghan.
Oh, those French.
She was a sweet old lady.
Always with the dirt on their face.
Everyone who's offended by the following game should go to the Christian Pig. I feel like
they might hear you out.
They're much easier to
deal
with.
There's a good chance they'll hear you out.
We'll give you a listen.
Secular Solomon. Let's see. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. Secular or Solomon Buva?
Well, sure. I'm going to go Solomon, and with pride in my voice, I'm going to say Proverbs 4.
Noted. Josh Wing.
I'm going to say Solomon as well, and I am not proud.
Well done.
Not before fall. Dan Hudson.
Boy, sure sounds like Solomon, but I can see you throwing one in. It'd be tricky. But I'm going to say Proverbs 16.
Proverbs 16. Mike.
Secular. Rescind. Solomon. Sorry.
With uncertainty in his voice.
What? There was a palpable hue in the room after I said it. So
we were just like,
all right. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 14.
Oh, we're so close.
Right on. Proverbs.
I said 4, but then you cut out my mic before I said the teen.
Being too being two chapters off is the same thing as saying Malachi 4 versus Amos 2. So I'm afraid you're just as wrong. Proverbs 14:23. Let's see. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Josh Wing.
I'm going to say Solomon and Psalms chapter 4.
Solomon with a Davidic psalm. Dan Hudson.
Let's hear it, Dan.
Oh, boy. I'm going to go secular on this. I'm going to go.
Who purses their lips, Dan?
Liars do.
Who winks and purses lips?
It's Indian. India.
Oh, man.
Mike,
here's the deal. Is after, demon. Let's say that Solomon did pump this out. I mean, isn't the cat out of the bag? Would the dishonest man stop doing that now?
It's like, wait a minute. Solomon found out about the lips pursing thing?
Quit pursing your lips.
We got to change this.
Hey, John, you got to stop that, dude. They know it's dishonest.
No, this will pass.
Keep doing it. Just do the combo.
I like to whistle, but people think I'm a liar. What do I do?
I'm going to say Solomon.
Okay. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He Solomon. Who purses his lips brings evil to pass. Boova, you're in for Solomon.
Proverbs 22.
It is indeed Solomon. Proverbs 16.
Ooh. Man, Boova.
Proverbs 16.
Anything less than the complete truth is a bit of a lie, which is your answer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shame.
Hey,
good call.
Boova, shame upon me and my family.
Boova just winked at me with both eyes. What does that say about him?
Hey, man. I blinked.
My eyes are dry. Liar!
Don't try to change the story, Boo.
He's a nervous lips when you do that. He made a kissy face at me, then blinked with both eyes.
Let's see.
This is a podcast.
Secular or Solomon, God did not create hurry. God did not create hurry. Secular or Solomon, Josh?
That would be secular, and I'm going to say... I'm blanking here. I'm going to go with Canada again.
Canada, the slow people. Just slow like molasses.
That's my default.
I'll eventually roll a 7. Dan Hudson, God did not create hurry.
It is a French proverb.
Paris, where life slows to a crawl. Mike.
I feel like I know the man that said that.
Was it by chance a distant relative that came over from Burma?
He was an immigrant. I'm going to say China.
Yep. John Boova, God did not create hurry.
I'm going to go secular.
Secular.
And I'm going to go Latvia.
The Latvians are a lazy folk. God did not create hurry. It is indeed secular Finland.
I was the closest.
Right. Finland.
Okay, I thought it was Francis Chan. All
right, I'm secular sorry. Francis. Secular crazy love.
From the foxhole.
I just guessing.
God, you would have known if it was Francis Chan if it said, God did not create hurry. Weep, weep, this hurts my heart. And then bracketed, said earnestly. I can't watch him. That guy cuts me to the core.
Well, that's the thing.
He feels life in a way that I don't feel it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I watch that dude. I'm like, he cries all the time, but I want to cry. Why does he feel everything so much? And I'm just some callous boob.
Yeah, exactly. You just feel like a stone watching him. It's like, just like, I have no emotion.
Feelings.
No emotion. I've seen that man cry at a string more than I've cried at anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
So I actually watched a video, I don't know, a few months ago with some random video of his, and it was like everything that could go wrong went wrong. They did some little illustration, and the fire alarms went off. About halfway through, someone's like pointed out his zipper was down. I mean, like everything was going. He finally was like, guys, I wish we could start over. You know? I thought, yes.
We do too, Francis. Boom. We do too.
Boom.
Here's the deal. We only got $100 in this thing. We're rolling. We're not starting again.
Make an illustration of the zipper,
up
Francis.
And move on.
Yep. Yeah.
Make the zipper. Say something.
Every ounce of my being wants to say it is risen, and I just can't stop it from coming out of my mouth.
Indeed.
True, literally.
Repent. Secular versus Solomon. He who digs a pit will fall into it. Touche.
Well
done, secular.
Secular Ben. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. These are the Kool-Aid man's problems. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. Secular versus Solomon. Dan.
I'm going to go secular with that one. And it just reminds me of a little cartoon growing up. It was Haji. He was from India. We're going to go India.
Done.
You watched Indian cartoons when you were a kid?
No, no. Well, I can't remember the name, but a guy named was Haj.
It was Annie.
Just stop.
Yeah, never mind.
Annie.
Punjab. He was from India, though. He could, like, do a snake dance thing, you know.
Punjab. But,
anyway.
Punjab was the guy. It was the guy in Annie.
We grew up in two different decades.
You're not familiar with Orphan Annie? The sun will come out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was a there's a little kid named Punjab in
no,
that.
No, it's the servant.
Yeah,
he made the plane fly.
Everybody knows this.
This is getting bad, gentlemen.
He was also the tiger in Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yes,
same guy.
The great tiger.
Yeah,
I've never played that.
AKA
You had to punch him in the stomach, didn't you?
No, he's the guy that did the big old circle around the ring, and then after, if you blocked him five times, you go...
You could punch him in the stomach.
Yeah.
That's how you get the stars.
That's how you get the stars.
You give him the whopsie.
Yeah. I'm talking about Johnny Quest, by the way.
That's right on. That's a recent...
Before all of you.
He's
Johnny Quest was back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You know the 60s cartoons, but not Annie?
No. I know my dad, who watched Johnny Quest in the 60s.
Did he quote Johnny Quest all the time? How are you familiar with
it? That was just his favorite cartoon.
Wait a minute. He's not an Indian.
Who?
Johnny Quest is not
Indian. No, Johnny Quest isn't, but he had He had a...
Okay.
He did a little flute thingy and the snake, you know, and it's going... Yeah,
it's very stereotypical.
He was a snake charmer. He was a snake charmer. It was the 60s.
Oh, I love Haji.
Oh, man.
Secular.
country of origin?
I'm going with Solomon.
Okay, Mike's in for Solomon.
Right. I'm in for Puba. Solomon, too. Lack of pride.
Okay, Josh Wing?
I'm going to say secular. I'm going to say that it's a... It does sound Indian. Sure does, but I'm not going deal. With that. Because
you guys just hear snakes. It's just
true.
See, where was the lost ark?
Let's say Kazakhstan.
What was that, Yoda?
I'm intrigued by your cultural reference.
I only know three countries. You've introduced a fourth.
That's a good one.
I, too, have heard of Kazakhstan.
I watch Borat as well.
I have relatives from there.
Left Burma, went straight there.
He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. It is indeed Solomon.
Oh!
Solomon, Ecclesiastes 10:8.
Oh, Ecclesiastes was actually written in Kazakhstan. I don't know if you knew that.
Germany 5.
So,
hey,
I don't remember.
Josh
winked
before he said that. For his
I did not purse my lips.
Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Bed is the poor man's opera. Bed is the poor man's opera. Secular versus Solomon. Mike. First of all, explain the
what?
Proverb.
It means that's where he goes to enjoy himself.
That's where he goes for entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can't afford to do other things. Rich people go to the opera. That's what they do with their income. Poor man got nothing. He goes to bed.
Yeah, secular and Italy.
You could say secular bondue. We do that at my house. We say, hey, man, we should go do something. We say, we broke. So let's go sleep then. Buva. Bed is the poor man's opera.
Secular Nepal.
That's outrageous. Josh Wing.
I'm going to say secular, and let's go with Germany 1.
Original.
Bet is the poor man's opera. Dan Hudson.
This is right out of Russia. Secular, Eastern Moscow.
They don't even have beds there, Dan. How could you be so heartless?
The ones who enjoy the opera.
Incredibly.
All right. Bet is the poor man's opera. Secular, Egypt.
Ooh.
Did not see that coming.
Wow.
Man.
Did not see that coming. All right. Last one. Did I do that one yet? Nope. I already did that one.
Hey, man.
Hold on. I got to start marking these off. No, we're done. We're out. That's it. Secular versus Solomon.
Hey, I was expecting one more. Come up with one.
No. No way to redeem yourself, Bubba.
No, Bet is the poor man's opera is the only one I had. That's originally me, but I stole it from an Egyptian man.
Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those
who send
him.
Here's the deal. I have to weed through the Solomon items to not have words like wisdom and sluggard or vanity. Otherwise, he's easily kicked out.
Yeah, no. Sluggard always is a Solomon.
That's why I can't do...
Fool is normally a Solomon, too.
That's what I'm saying.
You hear fool and sluggard, you know it's Solomon.
I can't do random Bible verses. I have to be selective. Otherwise, he's too easy to pick out. All right, that's secular versus Solomon. Hey, if you want to catch up on previous iterations of the game, you can go to livefromthepath.org, do a search for secular versus Solomon. Let's see. We played secular Solomon with Righteous Vendetta. Sandra Knudsen.
Yeah.
Ben Michaels was out there. Yeah, lots of folks in the office playing Sekler versus Solomon, so enjoy that. Hey, there's also a game. See how you can do on the things said to raise money on Christian radio.
That was good.
And yes. what was the other one?
The
apostle level.
Do you give it the apostle?
Do you give $1,000 a year at apostle?
Apostle level.
The end of the world quiz.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. See how well you know those who don't know the end of the world, and you can do a search for that under the quiz.
Hey man, I challenge you to go do that clouds quiz too. We did a quiz on clouds, and we got like 30% on. I want to see if anybody else can get hired.
I don't think those clips are posted. But hey, you know what I'll do? I'll post the link to the quiz itself. Not us taking the quiz, but like I'll throw the quiz out there. See how you guys do. Because we're generally pretty terrible. All right. You're listening live from Path. Hey, so far, if you missed the earlier introduction, Josh Wing has been visiting us in studio. You can catch more from him. I'm sure you can find him on Facebook. And do you have a Twitter handle, Josh?
I do. It's at Yeshua Wing, Y-E-S-H-U-A, Wing like the bird.
Yeshua like the God.
Yeah.
Done.
I'm God Bird.
Yeah. Sounds like the worst superhero ever.
God Bird was taken.
Had to get creative.
Hey, I bought a second account to Minecraft this week because it turns out you can't share a local network at home and Minecraft is two different people under the same username.
Okay.
And so my daughter wanted to Minecraft with me and I'm like, yes, sir, I'm in. And so I tried to choose the handle Fox's Den. It was already taken.
Yeah.
So was Fox's Den 1 through like 84. So then, this is the amazing part to me, is I changed it to Fox's Den with a Z. No one had it. Nice. I thought, man, 10 years ago, people would have had that like nobody's business. You know what I'm saying? That would have been taken right off the bat. So I ended up with the handle Fox's Den. That's cool.
I'm sorry. Why are you using the handle Fox's Den?
Because it's crazy town. You don't know what's in there. There could be a fox, there could be a possum, could be a bear living in there. Haven't you read that Russian proverb where they all try to get into the sock, and then finally the mouse gets in, and like all the animals of the forest are trying to get into this one mitten for warmth, and all of a sudden this little mouse comes in, thinks he's going to get in there too, and the whole mitten explodes? That's how I imagine a fox's den.
That is secular, and it's Russia.
That's darn right it is.
What? Yes. I'm sorry, how did you come across a Russian proverb? This doesn't seem like Mike's normal reading.
And why are there so many animals trying to get in a mitten?
It's cold out, Booba.
They're animals.
First a fox gets in there, and then a bear gets in there, and then like an armadillo goes in.
Hey, man, a bear.
They're not a Russian armadillo.
Has,
yeah, it's called the
not
white
anymore.
Mitten or something.
Mitten exploded.
That's true.
I mean, they had
you
this.
Blew it's up now our only
the
armadillo.
Last armadillo. The last Russian armadillo is now
you
extinct.
Know what? I think the mouse sneezed. Actually, I think the mouse fit in there.
Hey, man, this
then,
wasn't a good proverb.
Then
if
he
you
did
have to
a
remember
sneeze,
it in waves.
And then it blew up the whole mitten. And the mitten did not break, though, because the little boy found it. In any case, Fox's Den was the only name of the program.
No, you're right. I shouldn't have asked. That's my mistake. That's an amateur move on my part. You're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, I understand that you hate the show. Send us an email at info@livefromthepath.org with your complaints, and we'll get right on those. I check that thing every couple of days, you know, so it's important to me. And I almost plugged. Put the prayer on for Eisenhower. He just went through back surgery. So guess remember, Eisenhower, Bob Eisenhower was sponsored the show when we were on KTIA, and we let him go because we told him he was wasting his money if he kept sponsoring after we left the legit radio. That's just a mistake.
We're going to spend it on donuts.
We spend it foolishly. So anyway, you can go to EisenhowerTeam.com. Bob, he's just excellent. He's a great realtor. Him and his team do a great job. When we do the buffets from the path and go out and hit up the buffet, those guys come out, and they're just awesome to hang around. But anyway, Bob had some back surgery, and sometimes that can be rough. Yeah. Sometimes that's a rough recovery. It sounds like the surgery went well, but you know, if you were put the prayers on for old Bob, he does great work. He's a good friend of the show, and I'm sure he could use some prayer for quick recovery on the back, so he doesn't hunch over like an old man. So anyway, yeah, put the prayers on it for Bob. All right, hey, Mike, what
are we doing? An Eats from the Path anytime soon?
Actually, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about praying for Bob's back. I thought, hey man, we should have Bob come out to the buffet, and I thought, shoot, Ski, we haven't really put one out there, so maybe April.
They're shutting down all the buffets, though.
Hey, man, they are shutting down all the buffets.
Hey, man, what? That is a good thing.
What?
Those
the
buffets
old
are gross.
Buffet shut down
and the Ryan's.
Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Have you been to those? Not recently, but had you been to those within the last like 5 years, yeah, like a couple of years?
Ryan's went downhill.
Quality, ooh, but bad, yeah.
It's kind of the classic Dutch treat Sunday stop, you know what I'm saying? When they're like, hey, everybody should go out to eat from the church, except you're paying for yourself. We're not buying it. And then you're like, oh, crap, we got to go somewhere kind of cheap.
That's true. I was like, introduced to both of those buffets after church.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what's confusing is that if we, in if you're among the Dutch, they always just say my treat, and then it's real confusing because they mean the opposite. They mean to say the opposite thing. That's really confusing, Edvald.
I'm confused right now.
That's very confusing.
That's the Dutch guy.
Edvald.
Never going to date.
Right, so we're going to have to pick a legit buffet to come up with here next couple of weeks, and we'll try to plan. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Dear Life from the Path, my husband has been wearing a T-shirt with a picture of a tombstone and the caption, Married and Buried, on the front.
Classic.
Control yourself.
Sorry.
I have asked him repeatedly not to wear it because it hurts my feelings. But he only laughs and says it's just a gag. What do I do?
Let it go.
Buy a matching tee.
Hey.
There's advice for both people. Because, first off, the gal's getting offended in a Married and Buried shirt. If that's where your self-esteem comes from, whether or not your husband's wearing a gag shirt that talks about you being the ball and chain for him, you need to find your identity somewhere else. Second off, if that husband's just being a schmuck and is obviously hurting his lady and then goes, well, it's just a gag, don't worry about it, Myrtle. Like, that's a problem too. He's a prideful beast that thinks something funny his wife does and he needs to stop wearing the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. There's a right answer which that guy should stop that. But from a practical perspective, if his opinion is his marriage, that's how he wants to represent it, I'm confident that if you nag him about that shirt, that only reinforces why he thinks he should wear it. So, I mean,
I'll wash it twice this week.
I'm not saying he's right. What I'm saying is from a practical perspective, if that really is his position, you're not going to change his mind by telling him to stop wearing it.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, odds are she probably does the laundry, right? Like, I would just bleach it.
Get vindictive about it.
Here's the deal. This is going to sound crappy, right? But, like, I actually take this thing pretty seriously. It's just kind of a small blah, 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 ha-ha, husband's being funny. I don't lightheart that stuff with husbands. Like, you have no reason to own that shirt, represent to anybody that you feel any way about your wife at all. That's not a conversation for anybody. I get it. It's just a gag, and, like, I'm not generally known as a fuddy-duddy, but with this occasion and husbands and their wives, I don't feel that way. And, like, if you are representing your wife to anybody else, apart from uplifting her and telling the world that she is a great gift to your life, then you're a bastard. And I'd like to send people over to kick you in the face. And that's just how I feel about her. That dude should get rid of that shirt immediately. I don't think it's funny. Like, there's a lot of things I think are funny, and, like, dudes underselling their wives are not one of them. And now, granted, if he's not a Jesus man, that's going to be a real hard sell, and I get that. She might have to get over that and love him until he stops being that way. I don't know that I'd make any vague threats or whatever, but, like, if he even half knows Jesus, I'd just get a couple of his buddies to come over there and take it from him.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like, Mike, if you ran into that circumstance and you had a friend of yours that kept wearing that and you told him to knock it off and he keeps doing it, would you go there and take it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If it was one of y'all. If it's somebody I know that doesn't know Christ, I mean, I can't enforce that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not trying to hold yourself to a higher standard or follow Christ's ways. I mean, I can't just start doing arbitrary rules on you.
Right,
I
can't be surprised you don't know the difference. Yeah,
but, like, I know you guys personally. You say you want to follow Christ with your life. That means you ain't going to own that shirt.
Yeah.
And so I will come get it. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right.
All right. Secular's response is, because your husband persists in doing something he knows hurts your feelings, I can't blame you for feeling offended. While I'm tempted to advise that you have a T-shirt made that reads, Married to the Insensitive Claude, and wear it when he puts his on, that ought to do it. I think you'd be better off simply ignoring him when he does it. Eventually, he'll quit wearing it when the novelty wears off. You know, you could also start bumping up the dinner intake until it don't fit him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just start piling on mashed potatoes until all of a sudden that shirt don't fit him right, and then he'll be forced to not wear it.
Mike goes from righteous anger to, hey, you could make your husband fat so he doesn't fit in his shirt anymore.
Well, here's the deal.
My wife.
Yeah. That's how you get rid of everything. You're like, hey, man, your belly's starting to stick out of shirt. Even if it ain't true, he's sensitive. He'll change it. They'll be like, oh, no, you don't think my belly's sticking out, is it?
I'm having trouble. I get that there are people like this because those novelty T-shirt places stay in business. But, like, I'm having trouble getting on board with a guy that walks around thinking to himself, people are going to dig on this. And, like, when someone walks by, he's like, sticks his belly out and's like, I want you to know that I'm clever.
If 18-year-old Boova was married, he would have worn that shirt.
Yeah.
Like, if that puts it into context, it's that guy.
I'm still kind of disappointed this woman's so freaking sensitive. It's like, it's a stupid shirt. I mean, Do you think, is he really? I mean, he's just some stupid guy. I mean, he's just being a dork. Isn't that more embarrassing for him? I'd wear it with pride, thinking this guy thinks he's being funny and he looks stupid. And so it really is worse for him.
Yeah, but you kind of rail against when they take that same guy and then they put him on every TV show as the dumb, stupid, affable dad on every sitcom you ever saw, and you're against that. But
he's playing the role.
But you're willing to give this guy a pass and say that she's overreacting?
I think she's overreacting. At the same time, he you know, if she's honestly had the conversation, he should back off. But it's just, I think it's silly.
I have no counter argument. I completely disagree. Anybody else want to defend the boob?
No.
I mean, she is overreacting. I get it, right? But like, here's the deal. And like, if he was treating his wife right, I can't imagine she would even care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like wives put up with a lot from a man who treats her like a princess. And so they would probably just say, "You're embarrassing me. Please don't wear that shirt again." But it is what it is, right? I'm sure there's probably some room to move in the rest of their relationship that this shirt is actually not the problem.
Here's the other deal, though. There's probably a guarantee that that is not the only offensive shirt in his armoire. She married him knowing he wore offensive shirts. I guarantee it.
And says offensive things.
And now the offense is against her. So, I mean, part of it is kind of like, it's. I'm not defending him at all because he is a boob. But she probably knew that going into the marriage. And so it's just a matter of, I think, in those situations, you know, like Ben was saying, don't, you know, you're only going to reinforce his behavior by saying he can't wear it or reinforce the idea that he's dead and buried because he's married. But, you know, at some point, I think it's going to catch up to him and he's going to be like 70 years old looking back at old pictures and, oh my gosh, that shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he, yeah,
that was the end
him.
Of my marriage. That's why Myrtle left me.
Back when we were newly married, whatever, I don't know, whenever Back to the Future was like the movie, what was that, 80s, right? I mean, we were married in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So you know, Butthead was like the big funny name, Butthead. And so I started calling my wife Butthead. You know, hey, Butthead. I mean, it was just, and she was just like, oh, there's Dan calling me Butthead. So I was with, we were with some friends. And the friend thought that was really funny, so he called his wife Butthead.
Oh, no.
Who started crying and was like mad for weeks. Uh-huh. I mean, like they actually ultimately got divorced, you know? Not because of that
geez,
comment. I'm not saying that comment did it. But
what time in the 80s I caused a divorce?
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, she knew. Okay, this is Dan. This is his word for the week. Ha ha ha. He's really funny. He'll be calling me a bass fish next week. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just.
You're a complicated man to live with.
A bass fish?
I don't know, whatever.
Is that the two things that came out together? And
yeah,
it's just
they
like,
did.
Your brain went, yep.
Not a bass guitar, but a bass fish.
That would be funny. Mom, Dad called me a bass fish. Yeah,
sweetheart, you know, I have no idea what that means.
You just got to let him do that stuff. He loves
that.
You. He does.
He throws two random words together. That's your name for the week. Just... Don't worry about it.
So, and she knew that about me before we got married, and so when I did dumb things, she just thought that was just him being dumb. I mean, she didn't like think, oh, he really thinks I'm a butthead. You know, I mean,
no, that's true. Is like people decide to invest in those things when it's valuable to them to invest in them. Like you otherwise would let them go and say, yeah, that's how he is, until the point in which you need it. You need an extra hammer to kind of beat your spouse with, and then you're like, and you always call me bass fish.
Now, if she would have said, I really wish you wouldn't call me that, I would have stopped. I would have been like, oh, I'm just being a dork, you know. And she says, I know you are,
yeah.
But you know, so that's probably the difference too. That the guy does keep wearing the shirt. I still don't.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife was pretty insistent that I stop referring to her as Kathy Ireland. And I eventually had to honor her wishes.
I just always called my white fart whistle. That didn't go over well.
Yeah, see?
Things not to call your wife on Live from the Path. Bass fish.
Down.
I'm thinking like...
Kathy Ireland.
I think Hamburglar will play, though. Hamburglar's got a little bit of jump in it. A little bit of joy.
How about her name or sweetheart?
Actually, I barely ever use my wife's name, and I feel weird when I say it.
Yeah.
If I say my wife's name, it feels like I'm going to yell at somebody.
I've had a girlfriend for 2 months, and I already feel weird calling her name. I'm just like, coming up with new things. I'm like, hey, Babs.
It's how you, Bass how Fish you is coming. It's coming.
20 years from now, we'll be married, and I'll be like, hey, Bass Fish. You,
what?
What's up, Kathy Ireland? How you been?
All right, you got time for one more here?
Yeah, make it happen.
Okay. Dear Life from the Path, my brother got married a year ago after dating for less than a year. His wife started calling my parents Mom and Dad from the get-go. I didn't realize how much it would bother me, but it does, and frankly, I resent her for it. I'm very close to my parents, and I view our bond as sacred. To me, Mom and Dad aren't names you use lightly, to be cute or as a term of endearment. The relationship is earned and unique. Wow. I would never think of calling my husband's parents Mom and Dad, and I don't feel that I'm offending them by not doing so. Is there a proper way to discuss this with my brother and sister-in-law without hurting feelings or creating tension? Hey, listen here. I'm going to try to say this in the most non-vulgar way I can.
Yep.
But I don't know what thing you think you earned by coming out
out
of your mom's private area. You did nothing to earn that.
The baby did nothing to earn the relationship.
Yeah.
You showed up, and then a year later, the second you could, you started calling them Mom and Dad.
Yeah. And here's the deal. When God says, people can call me Father, I say, you don't own the rights to how that relationship is handled, right? God says, I am Father, and that applies to everybody. And you go, well, except for to my dad, because it's special, because I came out of his wife. Okay. That doesn't make any flippin' sense at all.
Mama. You shut it. You haven't earned a thing.
Get a job.
Don't look at me, Bass Fish. I'll put you right back in.
You'll call me Stanley until I see you. It's otherwise.
I say she gets a t-shirt.
It's ridiculous. I call people Mom and Dad all the time, and it's meant to be just a term of endearment. It's because I care about them.
Not
like,
my mom.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I don't. I'm sorry. Josh, I don't call her mom. I'm sorry. But like,
I'll gut you like a bass fish.
Whatever, Kathy. I call plenty of people mom, and it's not meant to be like rude to their kids. Like, I'm not saying, hey, I'm moving on in.
Boova's replaced you.
Boova's now the favorite kid. Like, that's not the situation. No, that's not it at all. I'm just saying, hey, mom, dad, like, I care about you, and it's just a name to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to move my way. And the fact that this person is offended at this, it's just killing me that they have this elitist relationship with their parents. And then this person, I love how she called out how much time they were together before they were married. I think her general statement and disdain is for that more than the fact that they call their mother-in-law and father-in-law mom and dad.
Well, her perfect world, which was her family, which is nice. She grew up in a family like that. It's really great